Welcome to the Denim and Pearls Podcast. Business casual conversation laced with pearls of wisdom. Casual, authentic, unscripted dialogue about life, work, and entrepreneurship with the perfect blend of laughter and seriousness. Pull up a chair, kick back, and lean in as we welcome your hosts, Michelle Ross and Brian Swanson.
Well, hello.
What's happening, all?
My name is Michelle Maross.
And I'm Brian Swanson.
We are Denim and Pearls. We are business casual.
With pearls of wisdom.
Yes, from the proverbial porch.
I need to look out how to spell that.
Proverbial.
Proverbial or perverbial? Anyway, so what are we here to talk about today?
I want to talk about the power of legacy.
The power of legacy. So we called the show Imagine. So if you can go back and imagine the song by John Lennon.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Right. There's so much to that song that it almost fits every category you could ever do.
Yes.
There's something about that song. I just love that song. So leaving a legacy. So are you thinking of leaving a legacy so that when I'm, 95 years old and I finally pass out and they put me in my grave, somebody's going to know who I was?
What are you thinking? It's all sorts of things. When people think legacy, they think huge. They think, oh, Michael Jackson, the Commodores, where they've left a big mark in the world. But I think legacy is in the simple things in life. Something as simple as, like my husband in college, he put goldfish reflecting pool in his college, he and his friends. And the way they knew that they existed was that someone years later wrote that they were sitting at the reflective pool watching the goldfish. And they went, we exist. We left a legacy. We put goldfish way back when, and they're still there.
That sounds more like a prank.
It wasn't. But it's basically, how do you know that you're here? How do you know you left a mark in any way? It can be something small. It can be something big. A lot of us start our companies in order to leave something worthwhile into the world. That's why a lot of entrepreneurs do what we do, because we don't want to fulfill someone else's dream and leave their mark in the world. We want to leave ours. And right. So it could be big and it can be small. And I was just curious about our audience. What do they leave? What do they plan on leaving? What do they want to leave? And are at their current status, are they hitting the mark that they want? And what set this off is I have a friend. He was pursuing his doctorate. He was doing all these things. He's just this amazing speaker. And then he got sick. And he didn't get to finish all the things he wanted to finish. And my thought process was he didn't have to finish all the things he wanted to finish, because the legacy he left was of joy, love, and that amazing smile.
So it's not always something that, because you're saying the joy, the love, the smile, the attitude, the celebration of life, you're saying those kind of things as a legacy rather than leaving your business as a legacy.
Yes, it doesn't have to be a tangible thing. And I think that's where a lot of us get hooked up on is, I'm a failure in life. I haven't done this and I haven't done that. I haven't left $1 million to my kids when I die. The thing is I see legacy as in 4 generations from now, my great-great-grandchildren are going to say, oh, I never met Grandma Michelle, but her smile and her pictures, I just knew she loved life. To me, that's legacy. You left a mark somewhere in someone's memory. Right. So what do you think?
I think you're right. I've said it before on the show. I joke about the fact that I always want to be the one who's remembered, and people drive past my house and go, Brian used to live there. Okay. You have a space chair. Yes,
I do.
She does. Anyway, when you drive by, kind of like the celebrity tours in Hollywood or whatever, this is where Brian used to live. I always had that idea. But I also think, too, when we evaluate this and we look down into it, sometimes we don't know that we've left a legacy. Sometimes we don't even know that we're creating one.
Yes. And, for those of you who follow me, I always say be the best version of you unapologetically. And that really has part of that legacy idea in there. When you're being the best version of you, people who meet you just like it. They like being around you. And they do, I don't know what happened to Brian, but, he used to live there. But, he was a really great guy. If I ever need anything, he was right. He could always fix everything. That, to me, is legacy.
No, I want him to charge.
to whom?
Whoever's coming past the house. To...
No, and who gets that?
That'll go to my foundation.
So he has a, he wants a big legacy in there. He wants some big mark.
Well, and that would be more of a celebrity legacy, I guess. Yeah. It's not necessarily, on a serious note, it's not necessarily that that love and smiles and goodwill that you necessarily be leaving.
Yes. Now, and with it's me, I put my mark in 15 billion books. You know, I've got 10 books that I'm a collaborative of. I've put quotes in other books. I've written 3 on my own, and then one what was an anthology with 18 other women. Mm-hmm. I know now there is a legacy because somewhere someone's going to find a big old pile of books that they want to throw out of their great grandma's house and do, oh, that's a pretty cover. I wonder what this is. And it says Michelle Maras, PhD. And so
I wonder if she signed it.
Exactly. Oh, I need to get those stickers that say signed copy. I do need to get those stickers.
But you I'm picturing you saying, you know, going through grandma's attic. Because one of the first things that we do is if grandma's had something in the attic or whoever, aunt, uncle, whatever, has had something in the attic, we always look through those and go, ooh, there must have been a reason why they saved this. It must have been extenuating circumstances. So it must be valuable. Did she sign it?
And I have. But what's really funny about that is I usually sign something at the beginning of the book, and then I say the page of where I actually signed it.
So you do a forward for your signature. A forward for your autograph.
So what's your legacy? What do you do? I mean, like Nathan was popped up on here and said, I have a space chair because I got a cool old chair. And like, Nathan, what's your legacy? I mean, I'm calling you out. Your legacy are your children, too. It's the mark, that smile, that you're the voice of the beginning of this show. And, you know, there's so many ways of leaving legacy. And so what I wanted to share with the audience is it doesn't have to be a book. It doesn't have to be your movie career. It doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be big to be leaving a legacy.
Can you gauge that by the amount of people who show up at your funeral?
No, because a lot of people I know several people who passed during COVID and no one could come to their funeral.
Oh, well, COVID's the exception to every rule.
Yes. So don't use that as a judge.
Yes, that is definitely not a judge.
My thought process would be, I don't know, like my mother-in-law, she's part of, I think she left a legacy. She was a teacher, a high school teacher. But my legacy, in my eye for her is every time I think of, you know, November of September 18th, I know that's the day she passed. Part of me cries, part of me smiles. Why? Because she used to make me laugh all the time. And we always played piano and I sang with her. So her legacy for me was her love of music and really bad Broadway musicals and things of that nature. But it's a different kind of legacy, right? It doesn't have to be big. So in your business, let's get to that.
Well, I challenge legacy in business. Mainly for this conversation, I challenge legacy in business because normally a lot of people who build businesses, especially like a brick and mortar business or a restaurant or something like that, they live it all of their life.
That's what I'm saying. Legacy is Shakey's pizza.
Well, yeah, definitely Shakey's made their own. But we look at it, we don't look at it to grow. We look at it to run that one little corner spot that we have on the street as our business and leaving a legacy and leaving the business after 30 years because you died.
Well, no, that's okay. Still legacy. They didn't. So let's say the mom and pop shop, someone made, I had Shakey's pizza in my head because it's gone now, but you know, things like a mom and pop shop where they opened the restaurant because they wanted to keep grandma's recipe or grandpa's right. special sauce recipe. That's right. Legacy. They built it around something they wanted to keep alive. And then people are know that. So let's say some restaurant that has some great sauce and they do, oh, that's great, 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 great grandma from Italy's restaurant. That's her special sauce. And that's what we use on all of it. That's legacy.
Right.
And the restaurant itself may not be, but the reason it started is.
I don't disagree with that. And I think that's 100% true because that's where the majority of us entrepreneurs, that's the road we travel. Mm-hmm. However, as an entrepreneur, it's also that thing of how do you build your legacy or how do you build your business and then get rid of it? There's always, as an entrepreneur, you should always have an end game.
Well, just because it's legacy doesn't mean it has to be one and done. Okay. You can have multiple legacies. Okay. Mm-hmm. Keep that in mind.
Okay.
One, an entrepreneur tends to be like shiny object syndrome. So they're probably going to jump to different things, but in each one, they've lost some mark in some sort. So for people who start a business and they leave it, well, they leave it to someone else who takes it on and becomes their own legacy. So a brick and mortar may be his once. And then when he sells it, I take it and now it becomes mine. And then when I get rid of it, I give it to whomever buys it from me. It's a passing on of a legacy.
I think my legacy is my hard drive on my computer. I'm just thinking about that because of all of the businesses and all the things that I've done. I've got folders for everything.
But what's funny is when he dies, no one else knows how to get to
it. Nobody knows how to get to it.
So the legacy dies with him because no one can access his computer.
Well, that brings up another thing is photographs. Like when I went through my mom's stuff here last year, there were pictures of this and pictures of that. And there was different memories that were there. I don't know if she didn't have a computer, but I don't know if I would have sat down at the computer and went, well, that's neat. Well, that's neat. Well, that's, I mean, the legacy or the stories, which is one thing I always like to remind people too. If you've got somebody in your family who is, let's say, on their way out, for a better description of things, make sure you pull their stories. Make sure they know, or you know, the answers that you need. Make sure, because the world was created, our civilization is created upon stories. So what did grandma do? What was it like when grandma was in 1934 during the Great Depression?
Well, here my thing is, don't wait till they're on their way out. Talk to them now.
Well, talk to them now, record it.
Yeah.
But especially if they're on their way out, go back and get some of that stuff. And, you know, because that's what I done with my mom. You know, I never really thought it was important to record some of the stories. But when I sat down with her right before she passed, I actually got clarification on a lot of things. Like, you know, she had my brother, if you will, and she had adopted him out. I had always thought she was like 17. Well, I found out she was 19. Okay. Well, that changed the story quite a bit.
Changed the timeline.
It changed the timeline. It changed a lot of things. So I actually got the exact reasons of why, you know, she adopted out at the time.
So go talk to your loved ones. Find out what they have in their head. Right. Make it the legacy. Make a book out of it. Record it. Just save it. Whatever. Right. But get it down, because I think a lot of the problems we have in our world today is that we forgot the stories of people before us. We don't learn from the lessons of what they've had. I remember when my grandmother, I used to talk to her all the time, she would talk about before trains were around. I mean, really? We don't use trains anymore. And she was alive when they started. Okay. It's so rare to say, oh yeah, when I waited at the train station, blah, blah, blah. We don't even use that very much, Grandma. I mean, it's very rare for us to use trains.
Unless you live in New York or something.
New York, in the big city. But my thing is she told us stories when, you know, they used kerosene lamps all the time because they didn't have electricity, you know? And I'm thinking, Grandma, man, you're old, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, wow, I can't even imagine that, because in just the past 20 years, we went from big, gigantic phones to gigantic cell phones to little phones to itty bitty phones to, can I help you? And touching your ear or looking at your watch and doing, oh, we've come so far in 20 years. And you think grandma and grandpa are in their 80s. What did they see? What did they experience? And what do they think about what we're doing now? So imagine capturing that information. You like how I tie that in?
Right.
Capturing what they know and how they experience our world today. Because back in the olden days for them, when we made cartoons about the Jetsons flying around in cars, you know, and here we are with little boards like skateboards that float. We're this close.
Well, that was from Back to the Future.
I know, but Jetson started the whole flying car thing. Well, I remember my father telling me, when you're my age, you're going to have flying cars.
Well, today.
Scientists get on
that. I mean, look at Queen Elizabeth.
She's been around a long time.
She was around for 96 years. And if you look at when she came into power and all this other kind of stuff and what was going on at the time, I mean, she came in right after World War II kind of stuff, you know? So look at the things. I mean, if you just take her and you can imagine what she's been through for her, just her 76 years of, or 72 years of reign, whatever it was, if you look at how things were then, I mean, cell phones were not even close to imaginable. She was actually one of the first ones to be on TV to do certain things. I mean, I don't know all the details.
Yeah, long distance was Morse code.
Pretty much.
I remember as a little girl, okay, we're 50s, we're in our 50s, okay? I remember as a little girl then that we had to learn Morse code just in case the phone system went out. And I'm thinking,
could figure that out.
I was really, really good with Morse code. My brothers and I, we used to communicate with Morse code because our mother could read it. Ooh, what was that?
Well, that was interesting. Oh, well, we're still here.
Anyways, imagine and go reach out to them, talk to them, talk to people who are different from you and find out what they see the world in. That's a legacy. That's getting their message, getting their story out of them because it's important.
So let me bring it into modern times. Do you think that Facebook and all your pictures and all of your adventures and your travels and your vacations and your food porn, do you think that's a legacy?
No, I think it's a piece of it, but social media is not real. People only put the positive things on, and then there's some people who only put the negative things on. So you never really get the real picture behind someone's life. So if you look at my life, I'm always on a jet and I'm always in a different place. That's not true. I have a home and a family. I've got two puppies. You know what I mean? I do grocery shopping. So when you look at my world on Facebook, it's glamorous and everything's fine. It's not true. It's not the whole picture.
And filters.
So, yeah. So in my world, and from my personal opinion, social media is not legacy. It's a portion of it. But I think, just like our friend Sally Wuhr, she goes into Facebook and she actually has them make books. And they download all of her pictures and they make compilation books of different years. Do you know she does that?
I did not know that.
So you can get a book of all the pictures you have posted in that past year and you can select a couple, you can take them out if you want. But it's basically a memory of the whole year. To me, that's legacy because then it says, this is all my friends and these are all the people I've interacted with for the past year. It's kind of cool.
Interesting.
It's a different way because on Facebook and social media, especially Instagram, everything's filtered and perfect.
Well, do you think we're leaving a legacy here?
Yes, we are, because we're leaving our thoughts.
I guess I should quit the jokes then, because I'm a serious person.
Yeah, right. So that's the thing, is this podcast will be a legacy, because one day someone's going to say, what did Grandpa Brian sound like? He's always been old.
I don't know if I'll ever be a grandpa, but okay.
I know. I don't think I will be a grandma, but you know, there's always a thought process in there. But someone's going to look back and do, what did he sound like? And then, oh my gosh, he hasn't always been 99. He actually had facial hair and hair on top of his head.
It was a short time period.
It doesn't matter. But it's a good way of people looking back and doing, who was that person? Right?
Hmm?
Legacy. It's more than pictures. It's, who are you? Who are you as a person? Mm. And what did you care about? You know what we care about because we always blatantly talk about what we care about. So capture legacy of yourself. Even if you just do a recording and just save it on a thumb drive and say, when I die, you know,
And when I'm gone.
So I'm going to do that. I'm going to download everything on a little thumb drive, and which is funny because I'm going to do a thumb drive and then there won't be technology to use a thumb drive. And then no one will know me.
Well, I almost have to disagree with that because I remember when we had floppy drives and all that other kind of stuff.
Do they still have floppy drive readers?
They do not. However, everything once it's digital can be done, can be removed or put to new.
I can't put on a thumb drive just so I can put it by years.
Yeah, you could put it. I mean, thumb drive CDs, none of them are designed to last for a zillion years, but most of your digital products will probably last at least 1,000 because of the materials that they're made of.
You can always leave it on the Dropbox, and hopefully Dropbox doesn't go out of business and take all your data with it.
They could go out of business tomorrow.
I know.
I mean, there's one thing about trusting Dropbox, but that's a whole other story of, you know, thinking that they're going to be around for eons. I mean, look, even at Yahoo, or not Yahoo, AOL.
Yahoo. Anyways.
But you also have AOL, you know, but AOL, believe it or not, is still around. We just don't, it's not on the top of the popularity list.
So imagine, how can you
So have you legacy? Looked at your MySpace pictures lately?
How can you leave legacy? And it has to be beyond social media, because these platforms could all go away in a blink of an eye and it's gone.
Yeah, just an EMP.
Yeah, one big gigantic magnet comes across us and poof, it's all gone.
So well, I kind of look at it too when I joined the military. When I joined the military, I went into drafting and I had big sheets of paper and Mylar and this kind of stuff. And I drew runways and I drew buildings and roads and all this other kind of stuff on there, all hard copy. Well, then AutoCAD came around, or those kind of products came around. So we did a lot of stuff digitally. Then we printed them out into hard copy and stuff. Well, dealing with a different format changes a lot of different things. And I just totally forgot where I was going, if you didn't notice that. But anyhow, things change. They always do. But
which is why I encourage people to write books, because paper and there's digital. I mean, there's different ways. And that's why I'm into
unless you're in New York and it floods and goes up past the Empire State Building.
Well, and that's why all the books are gone. Well, because there's always a Library of Congress, you know, there's that digital library. There's a digital library, there's Library of Congress, then there's the hardback books. There's so many other ways to leave your legacy. And by putting down your thoughts on paper, it's a huge thing. And so that's why I do the whole Amplifluence and Perfect Publishing bookie thing and keep pushing you to write your book, because it's part of legacy. It doesn't have to be an enormous book. It could be a children's book of just pictures and, you know, this is an ice cream cone. I like butter pecan, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, you did a podcast earlier that got me thinking about my book again. I've been so wrapped up in a whole lot of other things lately, just tons of different things. And you did a podcast earlier that it's like, you know what, maybe it's time to sit down and look at this thing again, pull it out and start going with it.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to put a time frame on it.
Well, and I bother him about writing his book, because in the time that we started talking about writing his book, I've written 4.
Well, la-di-da.
Get him moving.
I don't have a ghostwriter like you do.
I don't have a ghostwriter.
You kind of have that at your fingertips. Oh, honey, how's this look?
I do have a readily editor.
A readily available editor, yes.
My editor is editing as I go, because I'm like, what are you, that sentence, does that even sound right to you? No, do it this way. Okay.
I hate to see what he's going to look at when he looks at mine. Let's oh see. My God, I thought he said he could write.
Yes.
But yeah, I think everything, like, you know, digital is, it's great. It's fine. It's fantastic. It's great for what we're doing these days. I mean, I live my life digitally speaking.
But.
However, the things that really stand the test of time are the hard copy, the books, the albums. I mean, the 45s, the 78s. I mean, I go all the way back to, I understand, you know, when they first did wax. Okay. All of those kind of things, those can be kept forever.
It's like, how do you know that you're still here?
Digital is one of those things that you push a button and it's gone.
And so with me, I mean, I'm proof positive. I've had how many computers, and each time they've died and took all of my data with them, you know, so I have books that I wrote that I never printed that are gone. They're locked on a hard drive somewhere. So think about beyond digital. Now, something as simple as my husband's, one of his legacy things he does is he's a big editor. He wrote a lot of things, especially in NATO. He wrote on his birthday. He would edit things on his birthday so that everything would be converted to his birthday, and then nice. He would sign. And so that was his kind of little joke, is that he could always look at anything written in NATO and know if his birthday was on it, then he knew it was him.
Interesting.
It's that subtle. It doesn't have to be something big. It's something that, you know, you're there and someone else is going to say, oh, MM.
Okay. So I want to take this, because we started off, we got onto a rabbit hole here, or into a rabbit hole here, talking digitally speaking.
Yeah. You got stuck in it digital.
We both did. It's your fault too. I want to go back to leaving the smiles, leaving the things. I mean, because we all have that uncle that was a jackass.
No, we don't.
Okay. Well, most of us do in some way, shape, or form. You know, but there was always that. That was probably the legacy that person didn't want to leave. You know, because it can be positive, it can be negative, but there's always that one. There's always that one uncle out there. you know, so you've got to think about personalities and what, you know, what was he like? What was she like, you know, when they were doing their things?
Yeah, maybe, maybe that was what his legacy is. He wanted to be known as the hard ass. You never know. That might be his legacy. I had an uncle who was the tough guy. We, that's what we called him. He was a soldier. He was a tough guy and he was always so tough. And then, later on in life, he went, I'm actually kind of a teddy bear. It's a facade, but that's what he wanted to be known as, the tough guy. And he is.
Well, it's different being the tough guy than being the jackass.
Yes. But that might be what that uncle wants.
You think so?
I don't know. Some you people want to be known as the John Wayne of the family. I mean, you never know.
That could be too.
Yeah. So never judge anyone else's legacy. Okay. That might be what they want. They
want. Well, I think some people who leave a bad legacy, you know, and I can could use all kinds
a,
of stuff.
Could there be a bad? Well, yeah. Hitler.
Well, there could be.
Hitler has a bad legacy.
Well, I'm thinking of, I hate to bring it into this topic, but it's true. Abusive, alcoholics, different types of people
legacy.
Like that. And that's the legacy that they've left.
That's their choice.
But I don't think, did they really choose and think about the legacy we're leaving?
No, they haven't thought that far. They were thinking that. In that moment of whatever they were going through, because hurt people hurt people. And that's the whole other reason why I'm a coach and talk about being the best version of you unapologetically. That's why we do this podcast, because we want to lift people up from whatever dark spot they might fall into. It's about choosing the best version of you and not doing, oh, well, this is what happens in my life and I'm just going to succumb to it. I'm just going to be miserable and make everyone else miserable. Let me hit somebody today.
You know? I just wonder if bad people think that way. I'm going to do this because I want to be a jackass.
I don't know, because I'm not a bad person and you're not a bad person.
I know. So, it's hard for me to fathom.
We can't fathom it. But, you know, when you read stories, like say in my book that I led, The Hold My Crown, bad people do some amazingly horrible things to other people. And I can tell you their legacy is that. That's their choice. They chose to be that. And so their legacy is, I cannot stand that person. I never want to be in the room with them anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's their legacy. That's what they chose. They chose to be cruel to other people. Congratulations. Your legacy is you are cruel human. Good luck with that.
I hope that never gets to be my moniker.
It won't be, because you're too goofy.
Yeah, Brian was a real jackass.
And see, and that's my thing is, if you ever read my story, if you ever hear my background, I've met some pretty horrible people in my lifetime. And so my tolerance level for people who are horrible, there's not a space between my fingers. That's how much tolerance I have for bad, negative people. And so don't be that person. Don't be the one that leaves that legacy. If you're grumpy all the time, figure out why you're grumpy. For all we know, you need vitamin B in your life. I don't know. You know, if you're an abusive person, is it the bottle you keep picking up? So choose to not pick up that bottle, because your legacy is that bottle now. You know, you think about all these things that happen in the world that are beautiful, and then you think about all the horrible.
Right.
The people who did the horrible chose that.
They well, my guess people that are listening to this are probably not horrible people.
No.
And because, if they are, they have to really do some soul searching.
Well, if they're horrible people, they don't want to be looking at two happy people. You see what I mean? So it's a choice. So if you have someone in your life that makes your life miserable and you realize that their legacy is that, it's not your responsibility to change it.
Okay. So I'm going to take this to back to business again. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I've got a restaurant. I don't have one, but let's use that for the example. I've got a restaurant and my food is phenomenal. And I've left this legacy that my kids want to take over my restaurant stuff. That we get all of that. We kind of discussed that at the beginning. But I'm also thinking too, what about if you have terrible service? I mean, first of all, you're probably not going to be in business very long. And then your legacy is going to be the fact that you sucked and that's why you went out of business. Is that a legacy or is that just a bad business practice?
It's a bad business practice.
But
your legacy is still your legacy. So the food is still good. Whatever got you into that restaurant, your food was amazing. That was your legacy. You wanted to bring it to a broader audience, but you couldn't get the staffing to keep it up.
So how do we define between reputation and legacy?
And that's the bigger thing.
I mean, is there a fine line there, or are they distinctively different?
I think they're distinctively different, because your legacy is you. Your reputation is also you. But when you have a brick and mortar that you keep bringing in, your brick and mortar, then your reputation is tied to that. And so your reputation is now being controlled by not just you, but everyone you're willing to hire. So you have to get really specific and very cautious on who you hire. And in this world right now, where people hire and fire so quickly because people only want to work for a day and they leave, you need to be very particular about the values and the mission you have of your business, because those are the kind of things that you need to use to figure out who you want to work with you so that they align with your mission and your values. And then that way, your legacy and your reputation is aligned with the people you hire, because they are the face of you. You can't be at that restaurant 24/7. So therefore, the people who are in that restaurant, if they're not smiling and if they're equivalent to what you're trying to bring to the world, they become the face of your reputation and your legacy. When actually your legacy is that food creation and your love for to see the smile on people's faces when they do, oh my gosh, this is the best food ever. It gets diminished by the wackiness of the people you're hiring. So make sure whoever's hiring for you is hiring in alignment of vision and mission and goals, because that's why when we do businesses, we write vision, mission, and goals, because we want to align with what we want to bring to the world in the long run.
Right.
So there.
Well, I'm also thinking too of, you remember Coke.
Yes.
I think we all remember Coke. Some of us are old enough to remember when they did a nice little experiment for New Coke. That destroyed their reputation for a little while until they came back with the original formula.
They brought back their mission.
But Coke in itself is a legacy.
Yes.
But New Coke, just because they came out with it, it almost destroyed their legacy.
It was nasty.
Yeah. I mean, it was that bad of a choice that they came out with something.
But if you want to go that far back with Coke, you know, Coke started with
1920s or something,
and it had
1918,
illegal drugs in it. Okay, so sometimes a legacy does, your legacy does need to evolve. It has to evolve. Coca-Cola used to have heavy drug in it, and when it became illegal, they had to remove it and fix that formula. It's still a legacy. The name is still the legacy, the Coke brand.
Right. Well, it's also what built their legacy, honestly. You know, that's really
the addiction to the drugs.
It did. And I mean, that's really, then you go through the 50s with peanuts in your Coke. I mean, I don't know whatever that did, but you know, it was still that idea.
Whatever it is, remember that your legacy is what you make it. It's what you bring to the world. It's your personality. It's who people, how people remember you.
Well, so, another one is too, is I think they took, being a car fan, I'm a Mustang fan. I think personally, in my own opinion, they destroyed the Mustang name by bringing out that electric one that they did with a total redesign on the body.
No, it didn't destroy it, because when people think Ford Mustang, they think the original car.
Right.
So that's the legacy.
Right.
So now they're flipping around with it right now, but the legacy is that model car. It's when people think of Mustang, they have a mindset of, they see it. Just like when people say Mercedes, they see it when they think, I'm trying to get out of cars. For now on, when anyone thinks iPhone, we're all going to see this phone.
Oh, no, I remember the first.
Yeah, the little flip phones.
Oh, no, they were never a flip. iPhone was never a flip, but I remember the first iPhone.
No, I meant the little phones. But no, there are certain things that come to mind. When we think a burger, we think what? When you think French fries, what do you think? When you think milkshakes, what do you think? McDonald's will always be known as McDonald's, not from the clown. We remember the big M, right? So there is a legacy that happens, and they evolve and they fall apart, but the original stays. So what's your original?
Who are you?
Who are you?
I mean, I think that sums it all up in this whole show up. Who are you?
And can
who
I do it?
Who do you want to be?
Who are you?
Who, who?
That's your legacy. So go be the best version of you. And if you're an ass, stop being an ass.
We should have retitled this.
We can.
We should have.
Okay.
Oh,
so
who
are you? So go be the best version of you. And if you want to be a better person and leave a legacy of something better than the lady who screams all the time out the back porch like a Karen saying, you're too loud, or get off my lawn, then change it. It's your chance.
That's their legacy.
You can always adjust it. You don't have to stay with it. Adjust. Be the best version of you.
Mm-hmm.
So
how?
We can imagine.
Unapologetically.
Yes, unapologetically. So we can imagine that our legacy will bring a smile to someone else's face in the future. So go be the best version of you unapologetically, and denim and pearls, peace.
Peace.